Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
High noon, Jones and Keefe. Patriots Monday. Woo! Big game out of Drake May.
Victory Monday.
A victory Monday.
Again.
The Patriots don't let down.
As many wins this year as they did last year and the year before that.
Oh, it's a good point.
I would say more than last year. That last one doesn't count.
Last year was really three, but technically four.
Technically four.
Four, four, four.
Four, 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 four.
Fours are wild. Fours are wild.
Fours are wild.
They have a chance, though, to surpass their win total next week. I hadn't even thought about that. Good
point. I think they will. I have a feeling that they will. I don't want to give away the whole week, but I feel like they're going to win again.
I think they're... Let's lock it in. I think they're going
to win. You're going to lock it
in? Yeah, let's lock it in.
They're going to be your survivor pick?
I know it's Monday at noon. Let's lock it in.
Bold enough to go that flavor?
I don't think I'm that bold.
No. On the road?
Yeah.
Although they are road warriors, like the Legion of Doom.
They are indeed road warriors.
Win everywhere.
But they didn't let down against New Orleans. Now, I wouldn't say there were a lot of style points in this win, although Drake May had some highlights.
He did.
But New Orleans hung around, and the Patriots couldn't really put them away, and they couldn't run the football, and the offense is more inconsistent in the second half. But then you also look at it and go, well, Drake had huge plays taken away by the refs, which we'll get to. And I feel pretty good about that victory where, and maybe not everyone does. It sounds like some of the players in the locker room didn't after the game. Mm-hmm. And Vrabel addressed some of them in this post-game breakdown and was like, guys, don't ever feel bad about getting a win in this league. And it tells you that maybe expectations are getting raised. Like, this is the kind of win in the Brady era. I can't believe we're comparing it.
Oh, boy.
But this is the kind of win in a Brady era. We'd come in and rip them. We'd be like, it was awful.
What
you let
that?
The Saints hang around. You barely won. You were lucky to win.
Yeah.
That's how we would treat this in the Brady era. In the infancy of the Drake May era, I feel pretty good about a win like that because I thought a full-on, full-blown letdown was in the cards, and they didn't. They got the win.
Well, I think one of the reasons for optimism at the beginning of the year before they even played a game was how bad the opponents were. And a lot of the opponents, though, you could make the case for saying the same thing about the Patriots. Like, the Saints and the Titans and the Browns might be circling the Patriots. Like, well, that was a 4-win team from a year ago. How much better can they really be? And I think at least through 6 games, and obviously you'd love to have the Raiders game back, and you can't turn it over 5 times against the Steelers. But through 6 games, you now feel like you have the clear advantage over these scrubby teams. It's not a 50-50 coin toss. And I know they won by 6, but it's also the nature of the NFL. Look at the spreads every week. There's just so much parity all the time. Going on the road after a big emotional high of the Bills game, you know, Titans game, Titans week coming up, all that. Like, any win, I thought it was good to hear Vrabel sort of voice that to his players, be like, even if after beating the Bills, your expectation level raises, great. It should. But it doesn't mean you're just going to beat yourself up over
any kind of win.
Yeah,
No. And I think you make a good point about the last couple of years. Bills last year, Curran was famous for this line, the wins are everywhere. Well, there were a lot of winnable games on the schedule. They were too bad to take advantage of it.
Yeah, no, this team can.
Last year, there were a lot of winnable games on the schedule. And they would get rolled up by, like, Jacksonville and teams. Like, they lost awful, awful, awful games to awful teams. And the Patriots did some of that early. I mean, the Raiders' loss was a bad loss. And Pittsburgh, they should have won that game. Pittsburgh has proven to be, I mean, as of right now, a good team in the AFC. I don't believe in them.
No, but better
but
than
hard,
I thought.
It's hard to feel too bad about that one, at least in terms of what Pittsburgh is as a team. Now you feel like, oh, they're going to go in and take care of business against bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
And they should do that. This upcoming week against Tennessee, they did it yesterday. Let's get some phone calls, and then I do want to get to the refs because they were, unfortunately,
rough.
A big storyline. And I feel a lot better about talking about the refs after a win when they overcame some bad calls instead of crying about the refs and blaming them for a loss. Mm-hmm. I do feel better about that, so we'll scratch that itch coming up. But George in Texas waiting very patiently. Go ahead, George.
Hey, guys. Appreciate taking the call. Offensive line, why aren't we talking about that coaching, right? We've been talking about Josh. We've been talking about the backup OC. We've got Doug Marrone. We've got Jason Hoff-Talen. And we had Mike Vrabel at his presser say if needed, he would be a third, his intro presser, he could be a third O-line coach. It's my understanding that it's harder to pass protect and run block. Why haven't we been able to resolve the run blocking? I don't think it's a RB talent issue.
So,
I think it's an O-line issue.
I think the reason is, and I guess we could lump in Doug Marrone when we're talking about Josh McDaniels. I think the reason that we haven't been too hung up on the O-line is because they're doing a good job in the passing game.
I think that, yeah, they are.
And if I had to pick one or the other,
yeah,
would I rather have them be turnstiles in the passing game but good at run blocking or the other way around? I'd rather have them do what they're doing. But,
which is odd because going into the year, I think all five guys you probably would have said are better run blockers.
100%.
And they are not.
Bradbury,
there are stats on it. And then the two rookies, people are just sort of like, it's going to be easier when first year in the NFL rather than going up against some of these edge rushers. How much time did we talk about, oh, it's T.J. Watt and it's this guy, it's that guy, it's Max Crosby. And, they haven't been perfect, but they've been very good. I think it really is a running back thing. Like, the running backs have let them down. It's easy to watch Ramondre fumble and be like, all right, that's a problem. But even just the yard, like, there hasn't been many times where you're like, oh, what a great play by the running back. Or, like, make that one guy miss, and then you have, 10 yards down the field or 5 yards down the field. They've been very, very underwhelming. Because especially when you see, like, what happened. You watch around the league, all these other running backs, not first-round pick running backs, not second-round pick running backs, having big games. Do they all have awesome offensive lines and awesome everything else? Probably not.
No, in fact, I mean, the Chargers have a million injuries on their offensive line. They lost Amarian Hampton, their first round pick.
Scrub that just had a bunch of yards.
They lost Najee Harris, and Kamani Vidal is out there running all over the place with a bad offensive line.
Now, look at Tony Dews, the running back coach?
Granted, bad team on the other side, Miami. We've seen that.
No, I know.
But yeah, I feel like other teams are getting more out of that. Here's what I'll give the caller. I think you're not hearing a lot about Doug Marrone because the pass blocking has been good. But when we talk about Josh fixing the offense and why they're struggling running the football, let's lump in Doug Marrone. We'll pledge to do that. Scott's up in New Hampshire. Hello, Scott.
Gentlemen, Jonesy, how we doing?
Excellent.
I wanted to throw a name out there I haven't really heard for the Pats to target as a running back.
Okay.
Team is a mess. Coach is about to be fired. They're on the cusp of a full-blown rebuild. What would it take to get Achan?
Okay, I don't think he's getting traded by Miami. But the name I thought he was going to say, I'd take him.
He had a nice scamper yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's really good. I don't think Miami's moving.
Three scampers.
He's on his rookie deal. Breece Hall, though, is at the end of his rookie deal, and Breece Hall is a name that could move. Okay. So, like, Breece Hall, Alvin Kamara, those are the big trade deadline names, I think, at running back.
Bring Tony Pollard with you back home this weekend.
The other one I was just going to say was Tony Pollard.
Yeah, I think Tony Pollard's a good one. Any interest in Kamara?
No,
me neither. We saw it yesterday.
I think he's good. I think he's kind of cooked.
I'm just looking at the
team. Look, adding another back to the room I'm in favor of. So if you're telling me it's Kamara or nothing, I'll take Kamara. But no.
So Derrick Henry, like Andy Hart was saying, he's on a bad team.
I would bring in Derrick Henry.
I would bring in
Derrick Henry. Tony Pollard. He's a man. He can do it anytime.
Nailed it.
So Tony Pollard. He can do it anytime.
The name that Breer brought up on pregame from the Saints yesterday was not Kamara, it was Olave, and we spent some time talking about that last week.
Yeah, he had a nice game.
He's like he looked much more explosive down the field than I thought he had been utilized to this point. But Breer made the point, and of course he'd go to Ohio State.
Right.
But Breer made the point that Vrabel has good intel at Ohio State from his time there, and the reviews on Olave were really good. So really, it would come down to medicals with him. But if you want to make a trade in the passing game, that might be more realistic than the name we've brought up thousands of times. A.J. Brown.
You could probably get the guy from the Cardinals that dropped the ball on the 1 yard line. He might be available.
Yeah, I think you could bring him in. You got to coach that out of him. They're not real great at coaching fumbling out of players.
Did you hear the update? I don't know if we ever mentioned this on the air. Apparently, the coaching staff showed the Adonai Mitchell play to the team Friday before the game. Like, specifically showed the team that. Which is like so much. It's bad anyway. There's no way to slice it that it's bad.
Yeah.
But then they made a point to be like, hey, guys, run through the end zone.
So someone with the Cardinals was willing to share that information. That's inside information, Keith.
I know.
That's inside the team. Yeah. So I don't know why they would say anything
That's why we have insiders.
It's very strange. Yeah. It's an opportunity to talk to somebody inside the locker room.
Well.
And they could shed some insight on what goes on within the team. They don't want to do that.
No state secrets. Like,
very, very,
who has
very,
a good highlight tape?
Very strange.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
617-779-7937. Speaking of strange.
Yeah.
What did you think of those refs yesterday?
Brutal. And I, you know, bad calls are one thing and
they
they're
don't know what the f*** they're doing. You understand that?
Yeah. To sum it up, yeah. No, I think bad calls happen all the time. They're very frustrating. They're, you know, you can lose your mind, you can throw your remote and all that stuff. But when it's a bad call and it's super late, is insane. Like it's a double whammy. At least a bad call in real time, you're like, "All right, whatever. Hopefully they balance out in the end." But when you have an awesome touchdown play, both teams are like, yeah, that was a touchdown. Let's get our special teams out there. Let's get ready to go. Drake May even said in the postgame, he was like almost on the bench talking about the second would have been.
I was about to sit down.
Yeah.
So, look, it happened later. You saw the Goff touchdown that got taken off the board?
Yes.
That was another one that took forever.
Yeah,
so
that's ridiculous.
It happened a couple of different days yesterday. I know Patriots fans are like, oh, refs helping the Chiefs. But that was another super late one. Prior to it happening again on Sunday Night Football, I don't know that I've ever seen a call that late. I'm not sure I've ever seen one come in that late.
And then when you see the call, you're like, I'm sorry,
nothing.
On the other side of the field, where a little bit of contact with both sides.
Maybe there was contact.
Okay, from both. So it's like, all right, it's something. And then you wipe that play off the board is ridiculous. And there was a bunch. And then there was even stuff that just... It really affected the overall flow of the game and then even some of the stuff that had to be challenged or wasn't challenged, or like you didn't have it right on the field. You're like, what is this?
Well, so I think if they want to throw the flag on the Diggs push off, his second OPI, where he caught the 51-yarder or whatever it was up the right sideline on a third and long.
That was a sick catch.
Unbelievable catch.
Yeah.
But I see how he got an advantage off that play. It's ticky-tack and it's bang-bang, but
right.
I wouldn't have had a huge issue with that if it wasn't with everything else that went on in the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Drake May, they didn't give him the two-point conversion right before halftime on the field. They booth reviewed that, called it in, and they're like, oh, yeah, he did score. So that was another one. You just mentioned the Vrabel. Vrabel had to challenge two plays at the end of the game.
Which were good challenges, but like they shouldn't even have been challenged.
No, I don't think so either. The Johnson fumble I at least think was close. I could see how they missed that.
Yeah.
Although it was a clear punch out and the ball moved instantaneously. But then did he still have it while he was going to the ground and his knee touched? Whatever. But
Vrabel, another fumble too.
Vrabel had to challenge that. They missed the other one. That's true.
Uh-huh.
Which Vrabel chose not to challenge. And he answered a question about that on the morning show today and basically was like, look, spot we were at in the game, it was close enough where I didn't want to lose timeouts. They're super valuable. And then he had the other challenge of the
play.
Well,
no, and they got the ball right back, didn't they?
They did.
That one? Was it a punt?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah, so that one, I remember in real time being like, you could have, you didn't need to.
You didn't need to. Yeah. So he looked at that and then challenged the booty play as well. So how many different bang-bang plays went against the Patriots yesterday?
It's bad.
A ton.
Seven!
The most egregious, absolutely, was the late flag on what would have been the second Pop Douglas touchdown, the first Stephon Diggs OPI, because it was so egregiously late.
I already had time to go through, find the Glitter Guns video from before with the kazoos, post it. Like I was like finding it. I'm not all that quick with all that stuff. And then I'm like watching and they're like,
wait a minute, what?
They haven't updated the score here. Yeah. What's going on? Like, oh, it's not a touchdown anymore.
Yeah, there was a flag that I don't think they ever threw.
No.
No Saints players were even asking for it on the field. It was wild. And it was so late. So that to me is the most egregious one. But what I like about this is that they didn't curl up into the fetal position.
No.
Cry about the refs and lose the game.
It was like another opponent on the field they were able to overcome.
They won in spite of it. And so here's Drake May about overcoming some of those calls that went against him yesterday.
Yeah, I think it was huge. You know, it was a really late call. We were almost on the sideline. I was about to sit down. I think just coming back and battling and, picking up a couple consistent drives in the first half. And then, Booty with a great, great play, in the back of the end zone, just trying to give him a chance on one-on-one. One-on-one is open in this league, and you got to know that. And We left some out there coming out of the half in the second half, first drive. So that was a bummer, but just gotta keep going.
Okay, what was it? Was
Drake, keep going.
Drake needs some oxygen in the middle of that? What was
I don't know what happened there. Extra saliva? What was that?
Nick said in our ears it was like Gale the Snail.
He's just mashing it.
It's like Biden sniffing.
I'm trying to find a drop of that, and that's the scene that just popped up.
Biden sniffing someone's hair? What was
that
noise?
I don't know what that was. He just played a great game. Another great game. So he can make whatever noises he wants into the microphone.
But that, to me, I don't know that the last couple of years they would have overcome those calls.
Maybe not. No, you could have just folded right up and complained about it. And then, you know, it's easy to complain about it. You're like, yeah, that was a bad call. That was a late call. It was all of those things. And then if you don't get the drive, we'd look back and be like, hey, maybe they would have scored. Actually, they did score. They took it off the board. But instead, they scored twice. They moved the ball back 10 yards or whatever it was, and they went down and scored again. So that's great. Even with on like a little bit of a, you know, the difficulty went up, played against the Saints when the Saints got a bunch of calls in their favor, and you still won the game. So that's I look at that all as a positive.
Meanwhile, you mentioned the challenges that Vrabel won late in the game. The Juwan Johnson one was huge, although they didn't cash in with any points. But they got it back, eventually ran out the clock because Vrabel had a second challenge with Kayshon Booty in bounds. Here's Vrabel talking about those challenges.
I don't think you ever really know nowadays. I really don't. Shutch does a fantastic job, and you know, just trying to figure it out, how they're going to see it. Sometimes they see it the way we do. Sometimes they don't. And just trying to be as smart as we possibly can. And we felt like, those were plays that could help us.
Okay, those were huge challenges by Vrabel that you felt a little bit like Belichick circa 03-04, where it's like, he's making an impact on that level of decision making, and you can give credit to Stretch like we would with Ernie Adams.
Yeah.
You made this point earlier.
Yeah, for sure.
John Stryker. But those were massive decisions by Vrabel that helped you seal the victory.
Definitely. And it's funny. He had a good back and forth this morning on the Greg Hill Show too, when he was saying how the league will send around these videos of like certain things, like what's a call, what's not a call, and like whatever.
What's a point of emphasis?
Point of emphasis this week, and whether it's, you know, offensive pass interference or fumbles or whatever, like a whole bunch of stuff. And he's like, they'll watch these videos. Him and Stretch will watch these videos, and then the game will happen, and the referees on the field get those plays wrong. He's like, who's watching these videos? Just me and Stretch? He's like, what is the point? Why are you sending
these? He's like, we hang on every word.
We love these videos. And they were like, hey, ref, did you also watch these same ones that are supposed to be like instructional videos for them? So, no, he's not been shy all season talking about the bad calls. And it would look way more, pathetic, for lack of a better word, if they were like 1-5 blaming the refs. But they're 4-2. They're playing really well. And the reality is they've had some calls go against him, but they didn't roll up into a little ball and then, have all these excuses for him.
His line this morning was, it becomes comical at some point, which the delay is absolutely comical. But I feel good talking about the refs after a win as opposed to the other way around, because it would be nauseating with the Patriots blowing a lead against a bad team and having to talk about, oh, the refs lost us a game, the league is fixed, this and that. And at least they were able to overcome that and get a win. And that's Vrabel sealing it. That's Drake May and his growth. That's the growth out of the team. Because, again, I don't think the last couple of years they would have been able to do that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.